Good afternoon. Welcome back. Episode 85 is called The Overseer. All right, we've talked about the honor guard of the Beis HaMikdash, Shmirat HaMikdash. And we shared a lot of fascinating insight into the essence of this mitzvah, what it represents, what it was, its aim was, what its purpose was, and who carried it out. 24 different locations. 3 were manned by groups of Kohanim, 21 by members of the Levite clan. At this point, we move into the next halacha, halacha yud. The Rambam tells us that all of these different people, 24 groups of people, and one of them included a group of very young people, even children, needed to have some kind of administration. Because, you know, lots of people going in lots of different directions. Even if they're Kohanim and Levites, well, they still need a head counselor. Welcome to the Overseer. Perek Shemini, the 8th chapter of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Halacha Yud. The Rambam begins by telling us, U'ma'amidin mimuna echad. There's going to be one individual who is appointed as the Overseer. Now, this is really interesting because was it one person who was responsible for everything that was going on? Or was it multiple people? The Teferis Yisrael, quite fascinatingly, suggests that it wasn't really only one person because, as we're soon going to hear, this individual wasn't only responsible for overseeing the administration of the watches from his desk. He was a hands-on overseer. This was a person who was on the floor, so to speak, constantly, every night, all night. Are we talking about a person who never got a good night's sleep? So the Teferis Yisrael, quite interestingly, says that we are not necessarily talking about only one person. He says, Hayukama. There were a number of people who were memunim al hashomrim. Each of them was responsible for the series of watches, the various guards who were there on duty, minding the Beis HaMikdash. U'mischalfim b'chol layla. The Teferis Yisrael suggests that we don't know how many people, but there was a constant turnover. He says that the head of them all was a man whose name was Ben Bibi. And we'll talk about why he had that name. He might have had more of an office job. He wasn't necessarily the man on the ground, the boots on the ground. However, there was a number of different people. And so if the Teferis Yisrael is reflecting the opinion of the Rambam, then the meaning of umimma'amidim mimuna echad al kol mishmarot hashomrim, one memuna, one individual who would be responsible for all of the mishmarot, means that each night there was one person overseeing all of the different watches, despite the fact that the Beis HaMikdash and the Har HaBayis is a very large and sprawling area. There was one person who was on his feet constantly all night long. Now, the truth is, not everybody seems to agree with this, because the Mefarish, the medieval anonymous commentary on Masechet Tomid, tells us that this individual was there kol laila, every single night, and he was mechazer al kol mishmar u'mishmar. So he's talking about one person who's there every night, responsible for all the watches. It certainly seems from the language of the Mefarish that this was one person because he was there every single night. But the Rambam doesn't necessarily say every single night. The Rambam simply says there was a memuna echad, not al kol laila, but al kol mishmarot hashomrim, on all of the watches. So it wasn't as if you had a person responsible for the west wing and the east wing, the Temple Mount area, and perhaps then the Beis HaMikdash proper. One person was responsible for all of these 24 different locations where sentries were posted. And in the Mishnah itself, and this is of course taken from the Mishnah says that Ish harabayit hayo mechazer al kol mishmar o mishmar. Ish harabayit, we're not talking about who this Ish harabayit is, but he's called Ish harabayit, man of the harabayit. We'll talk about this. He says hayo mechazer al kol mishmar o mishmar. Now it sounds like that there's one person being spoken of. And that's probably where the Teferis Yisrael, where the Mefarish takes his cue from. But if you look in the Rambam says, Maminim Mimuna Echad Akol Mishmeres HaShemrim. One individual was responsible for all the different watches. And instead of introducing the halacha in the way the Mishnah does, Ish Har Habayit, the Rambam says, V'ish Har Habayit Hayan Nikra. He was called Ish Har Habayit. Now, when we say he was called Ish Har Habayit, perhaps this means that when he was on duty, that was the role he was playing. Perhaps. And if that diuk, if that precise analysis of the Rambam's words is correct, then we might say that the Rambam would have followed the opinion of the Teferis Yisrael. Now, what kind of name is this anyway? What does it mean, Ish Har Habayit? Man of the Temple Mount. What is this? So interestingly, when we look in the Bar Tanura in the Mishnah, Rabbi Avadya simply says, Ish Memuna, the person who's responsible. However, the Mefarish, when he speaks about this Ish Har Habayit, he uses the word Sar, an officer. I suppose an officer would be a term denoting prominence, something illustrious and important about this person. The Mefarish says, if you take a look in the book of Proverbs, in the beginning of the 8th chapter, you'll see that when wisdom gives its soliloquy, so wisdom is addressing, in the 4th verse, Aleichem Ishim, Ekra, to you Ishim I call. And then wisdom, Shlomo HaMelech is speaking in the voice of wisdom, he says, V'koli, and my voice is El Bnei HaAdam, to the literally sons of people, or humankind. What is Ishim then? So the Mitzudas Tzion says, Ishim is Anashim. Anashim could mean males, or Anashim could mean what we refer to in Yiddish, a mensch. In other words, a person of a cut above, a person who's a little bit more impressive. The Ibn Ezra seems to suggest that Ishim are people who are prominent because of their affluence or wealth. He says Ashirim. There's a fascinating Yalkut Shimoni that asks the question, if you call them Ishim, then why did you call them Bnei Adam? What is the difference? If Ishim are simply Anashim, if they're both people, then why would wisdom first address the idea of Ishim, saying, I call upon you Ishim, and then he says, and I'm speaking to you Bnei Adam. And therefore the Yalkut Shimoni has a fascinating suggestion. Im Zachitem, in the name of Reb Shimon Bar Chalafta, the Yalkut Shimoni says, if you merit, and you fulfill the words of the Torah, then you are called on the name of the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In other words, it's a virtuous name. V'im lav, he said, then if not, you're ka'adam harishon. You're like the first human. Whilst he was created with great virtues, his behavior was anything but virtuous. Lo kiyam et haTorah, he did not fulfill the instructions that he received. And nitrad migan Eden, he was ultimately driven from the Garden of Eden. So what I am able to extrapolate from the fact that the Mefarash sends us off to Proverbs, incidentally, the Tosfos Yom Tov also quotes this same idea, and he says, you know, you find it in the Mefarash, and he endorses the Mefarash's interpretation rather than the Bar Tanura's interpretation. Ish would then denote some kind of prominence. In other words, we're talking about a person who is considered responsible or illustrious. He had earned people's respect. They were kind of obligated to respond to him. It's like when the Ish Har Habayit walked in, everybody stopped. And you'll see why this is important in a moment. So the Ish Har Habayit is what he was called. You can call him the chief executive officer. He was the officer, the Sar, the one responsible for Har Habayit. Okay, what did he do? Says the Rambam, V'hoyu mechazer al kol mishmar u'mishmar kol halayla. He spent all night on his feet, walking around the enormous campus of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a multi-tiered building, a huge Har Habayit, 24 different locations, and he's checking on location after location. You'll soon see that he's there to make sure that nobody falls asleep. And I've often wondered to myself whether or not he followed the same pattern or would change it up. You know, it's like when the mashgiach comes to the restaurant or bakery to do his check, if he'd come at the same day, at the same time, pardon me, every day, or if you check a factory on the same day at the same time, they know to be ready for you. If you really want to be an effective mashgiach, somebody who's supervising to make sure things are being done properly, you aren't going to follow a pattern. And nobody knows when you're going to come. So the Rambam doesn't say whether or not he followed a pattern. My guess is he didn't. The bottom line was, Mechazer al kol mishmor mishmor. He went from watch to watch. Kol alayla, all night long. What was he doing? He was making sure that they were awake and minding the Mishkan properly. Of course, you might ask the question, didn't we learn earlier that the Kohanim were sleeping? Well, the Ezra's Kohanim asked this question, and the simple answer is that some were sleeping and some were up. We didn't have everybody sleeping at the same time, and we'll soon see how the Tiferes Yisrael actually emphasizes this. So the Rambam says that the Mishmar, he walks for to Mishmar, va'avukot delukot lefanov. There are torches lit before him. Big question about these torches. Now, the language of the Mefarash is essentially that. He says, avukot delukot lefanov, uses the exact same language. However, very interestingly, if we take a look in the Tiferes Yisrael, the Tiferes Yisrael goes ahead and makes a different suggestion. He says, yes, avukot hayo delukot, there were torches that were lit, and it says they were before him. But the Tiferes Yisrael says, in the Mishnah, which uses almost exactly the same language, it doesn't, in the Mishnah it says delukin lefanov, not delukot, it doesn't say that they were nosim avukot lefanov. It doesn't say they were carrying. So everybody kind of agrees that the Ish HaRabayis was not carrying multiple torches. He wasn't like juggling fire or something. Ish HaRabayis was a very prominent person, and he came with his full prominence. But the question is, were other people carrying these torches? So interestingly, the Ezra's Kohanim suggests exactly that. He says they were being carried before him. He didn't go alone. He had an entourage. And part of his entourage was carrying torches. But the Tiferes Yisrael says it doesn't say that. Nowhere does it say that they were being carried. And so instead, the Tiferes Yisrael suggests, avukot omdim bimkoman, that these lanterns or torches were actually placed at intervals at certain places. So they lit up his path. And the reason, he said, that they'd be placed, a lantern would be placed, is because otherwise the wind could blow it out. You know, it gets windy in Yerushalayim. It isn't always a balmy night. This way, if you have a lantern in place, you can have a proper cover, and the area is lit up, and the Ish HaRabayis is able to see his way around. And then he adds, Ubishabbat, Hidlikom Me'erev Shabbat. On Shabbat, they lit him on Friday, earlier. So why were they lit? What was the purpose of having these lamps? Says it to Pharisee Yisrael, Kidei Shekishah Shomer Er, that if the person on guard, the sentry, is awake, Yireh, he'll see Lahasar, he'll see. Oh. Ish HaRabayis is here. The Yokum, and he'll rise. Very interestingly, in the Ezra's Kohanim, he adds, it's Miderach Musar V'Kavod. It would only be appropriate, honorable, when the illustrious chief executive officer of the Beis HaMikdash campus itself came. Of course you'd rise and say hello. But if it was dark and you couldn't see who was coming, how could you be expected to rise? Why is that important? That's a good question. But before we continue, I just want to suggest to you that we could, it seems, prove that the Rambam would follow the opinion of the Tiferes Yisrael and not the opinion of the Ezra Kohanim. And that's because if we take a look ahead into Halacha Yud Aleph, when we find groups of Kohanim doing a sweep of the actual Beis HaMikdash, There it says, "V'shtei avukot shal or biyadam." There it says, there were lanterns of light in their hands, or torches. Now we're going to talk about the difference between here it just says avukot dulukot, and later it says avukot shel or. We'll talk about what's the difference between these lanterns of light versus lit lanterns or lit torches. But the bottom line is, in Halacha Yud Aleph, it says biyodam, in their hands. And here there's no mention of biyodam, it just says lefanav, before him. Truth be told, though, we aren't sure what the Rambam's opinion was, and perhaps it doesn't make a difference. Perhaps the Rambam didn't want to make a ruling on this because he didn't know which it was, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter if the lanterns are being carried, or it didn't matter if the lanterns were placed in stationary way. Whatever the Rambam wasn't sure of, he wouldn't rule on. What's important for us to know is that the people who were standing at that honor guard position would be able to see the approach of Ish HaRabayit. And if they could see the approach of Ish HaRabayit, naturally, as Ezra Kohanim says, they would rise and show honor. The Rambam continues and he says, V'chol mishmar she'eino omeid, any mishmar that does not rise. V'omer lo Ish HaRabayit shalom alecha. And the Ish HaRabayit had to say, shalom, peace be upon you, greeting these sentries. So if he didn't rise, and the Ish HaRabayit said to him, shalom alecha, now presumably he didn't respond. Nikar shehu yashen. This would be indicative that he was sleeping. Now it's interesting that the Rambam says, uses the words omed ve'omer. The Mefarash adds a word. The Mefarash of Masechet Tomit says, omed kinegdo. Rises in deference. So why doesn't it say omed kinegdo? First of all, I don't know. Maybe the Rambam felt that word was superfluous or unnecessary. It was self-understood that if this is Ish HaRabayit Nikra, that you would rise. But here's the interesting thing. Why did you have to speak to him? If it was so obvious that the Ish HaRabayit was an illustrious individual for whom people would rise, and if the area was lit up, so it would be the most natural thing in the world. Why did you have to say Shalom Alecha? He says he doesn't rise, ve'omer, and say Ish HaRabayit, greetings to you. So the Tiferes Yisrael has a fascinating supposition. He says, you know, it's possible that sometimes a person could be weak. Maybe didn't have the strength. Didn't have the stamina to rise. After all, people could be very tired. You don't know that he's sleeping because he didn't rise. Furthermore, he says, ulai bal machshavot. Maybe his mind was lost. Maybe he was meditating on Torah concepts. Sometimes we're not aware of our surroundings, especially if we're doing something important. We're really focused in the moment. So the fact that he wouldn't rise only would mean he didn't notice the Ish HaRabayit. And if he wasn't daydreaming, or if he wasn't empty-minded, it's quite possible that he didn't notice the Ish HaRabayit. So then the Ish HaRabayit would wait for a greeting. Lefikach doresh hasar b'shlomo. So the Tiferes Yisrael adds something very interesting, which the Rambam does not say. He says the Ish HaRabayit, the illustrious CEO of the Temple Mount, would say, hello, shalom, how you doing? And if the person wouldn't respond, then he'd know he was sleeping. Now the Rambam doesn't say this. The Rambam says, ve'omer lo. The Rambam doesn't say that he would have to ask him something. So perhaps the Rambam doesn't follow the supposition of the Tiferes Yisrael. Perhaps the Rambam believed that a person would rise in deference and he would greet the person in deference. If he wouldn't speak, maybe he was sleep standing. I don't know. Bottom line is, it was clear from this a person who was silent, unresponsive, not in a standing position, that he wasn't present. Either he was physically sleeping or his mind was somewhere else and he wasn't involved in his vocation, his special job of minding the Beis HaMikdash, because, as we mentioned multiple times, this is not about a guard for fear of thieves or marauding bands or invaders. This is a guard about mindfulness. So if you aren't mindful of what's going on around you and you aren't mindful of the Beis HaMikdash, we got a problem. Maybe you're sleeping with your eyes open, but you're sleeping. You're not engaged in the mindfulness that's necessary to preserve the dignity and the glory of Hashem's home. And so if that would happen, says the Rambam, Nikashu Yashin, Choivtoi B'Makloi, then this individual was allowed to strike him with his staff. This is pretty serious. Some hardcore corporal punishment going on here. Now, the Mishnah LeMelech that we talked about in previous episodes, in Halacha Vav, tells us something very interesting. We have already learned that these weren't one person. They were groups of people, maybe even large groups in some of the places. So in every Mishmar, he says, Lo haya kulam ne'urim. Everybody wasn't awake. It could be one was sleeping, but somebody was awake. And if a person was sleeping and it was his turn to sleep, why would he be beaten? So the Mishnah LeMelech says, because they were taking turns staying up awake, when it says here, haya yoshin, he was chayvte b'makle, when the person was sleeping, he'd, so to speak, get hit and punished. It means l'mishu who zmano lihiyot na'or, the one who is supposed to be awake. And I've often wondered, how would he know who's supposed to be awake? Like, how do you know? If they're both sleeping, how do you know whose turn it is? Maybe it means that the person who fell asleep would lay down? I don't know. I'm not actually sure how they would know. But the Mishnah LeMelech makes a good point. If they were taking turns, it would make no sense for the Ish HaRabayit to strike the person who was sleeping in good faith. Remember, this could have been a 14-hour shift. That's a long time to be up. Invariably, somebody's going to nod off. You know, it's like when you're driving at night. Everybody in the car doesn't have to remain awake. You need your driver to stay wide awake. And maybe you need somebody with the driver to stay wide awake, but everybody else can take turns. So here, too, we need to know that the person who was supposed to be awake was actually awake, and he was the one who would receive this corporal punishment. An interesting question that's raised is we learned earlier that one is not allowed to bring his makel, one is not allowed to bring his staff onto the Temple Mount area. As the Rambam says in the beginning of the 7th chapter of Hilchos Beis HaBechira in Halacha 2, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah liyira min hamikdash, that we should be in awe of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam himself asks, Ezayira, say, what is the awe? And the first thing he says, the first thing is, la yukoneis adam laharabayis b'makli. One should not enter the Temple Mount with his staff. Now, if you might remember, many an episode ago when we started the 7th chapter, we talked about this because it would seem that the mitzvah of liyira min hamikdash is only in the Beis HaMikdash proper. And here, all of these people standing guard are not actually in the Azara. So there shouldn't be a problem to carry a staff or a stick. It would only be rabbinic. This whole idea of not carrying, the Avnei Nezer says, it's only a rabbinic prohibition. The biblical prohibition is only in the Azara itself. And as we've learned, nobody was stationed in the Azara itself, not in the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody was either on the outer scrimmage of the Azara or on the outer scrimmage of the Har HaBayit itself. As such, the prohibition of carrying a staff is only rabbinic. And therefore, we are told that because it is only a rabbinic prohibition, so the Ri Shlomo says, that's why an exception was made where the Ish HaRabayit would be allowed to carry the staff because he had to administer corporal punishment. How bad could that punishment get? Was it just a beating? Did anybody get torched? Well, with Hashem's help, we'll continue this series and you'll see how serious a responsibility these sentries, these spiritual honor guards had, and the powers that were afforded to the Ish HaRabayis were quite extraordinary, quite extreme, because remember, this Shmirat HaMikdash is not about the failing of an individual. These people represented the nation. Think of it this way. A tiny step or one step for a man, a giant step for humankind. Famous words of Neil Armstrong. Suppose the day he was supposed to do his first moonwalk, he would say, you know what, I don't want to do this. I'm not interested. I'm tired. Sometimes people just don't want to go to work. They say, are you kidding? They've just invested billions of dollars in getting you here. You're representing their whole nation and maybe all of humankind. What do you mean you don't want to walk? These were not individuals. These people had transcended individuality, and they were ultimately shluchim, agents, emissaries, proxies of the entire nation of Israel. There was a lot riding on their mindfulness. And as such, some serious consequences were carried out if a Levite would fail at his duties. Was this only Levites? Were Kohanim included in this punishment? This and many other issues we'll discuss Be'ezrat Hashem in the second segment of the 10th Halacha. And may Hashem help us that our study about the Beis HaMikdash and being mindful of its holiness help us to accelerate the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash. Al Yedei Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mheira Ubi Ameinu Amein. Thank you for joining. Please share, please like, please interact, and let us continue to build the metrics of getting Torah out to the whole wide world. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.